On the new Classical FM, that was Takwi Anelsutibun, Jeremy Dutcher, from his album Madolwinug, which won him his second Polaris Prize last year. He was the first ever artist to win this coveted merit-only award twice. He first won it in 2018 for the breakthrough album Wolastogiak Lintuwaganawa, where this Wolastogiak member of the Tobique First Nation resurrected wax cylinder recordings, weaving his own voice and compositions in and around the voices of his ancestors. You're listening to Sunday Night at the TSO. I'm Kathleen Kajioka, and Jeremy Dutcher makes a return visit to the TSO this month for a Pride and National Indigenous Peoples Day performance at Roy Thompson Hall on June 21st. To talk to us about his long-awaited return, he joins me now. Jeremy Dutcher, welcome back to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Very happy to be here, Kathleen. Thank you.
It has been way too long. It's been, I think you were here back in 2018?
You know, yeah, that feels like a lifetime ago. And so I think we're ready for an update. I think I've been like super excited about this collaboration coming on June 21st at Roy Thompson Hall. I'm like just buzzing. It's really like the pinnacle of like a long dream that we've kind of been building for, gosh, almost 10 years since I like sat down with my elder and she told me about the cylinder songs and the archival material and it sent me on a path to do that research that led to the first album. But also in that conversation, we talked about orchestras.
Oh, and is this Maggie Paul?
Yeah, exactly. So this is Maggie Paul, who's an elder out in the East Coast. She's a song carrier and she was like my teacher growing up. She taught me a lot, you know, a lot of songs and a lot of philosophies and pointed me in a good direction. But after I had heard the archive songs, I went back to her and I said, you know, when I hear them, I hear symphonies, I hear orchestra. She slammed the table. She said, yes, do it. You know, me too. I heard that as well. So you have to go do it now. So it was kind of this instructive thing because for me, our like traditional melodies they're really beautiful, but they're usually pretty monophonic. And for me, there sits on top of those melodies and below the melodies, like there's music there. And for me as a composer and as somebody wanting to think about how to be in conversation with those melodies, with those old voices, to lift it up to the height of the orchestra feels like the most beautiful manifestation of that initial idea. You know, because when I was studying in classical music school, there are these composers that look towards indigenous people. People like Dvorak. There's a whole group of like, they called them Indianist composers, you know, of people that were like inspired by us and like engaged by our culture and music and placed our melodies or our instruments into an orchestral context. Now, for me, you know, that has limitations because it doesn't really honor where that music comes from or the depth of that musical tradition. It's just kind of taking it as a source material and otherwise it's just like Western art music. So for me, it was like, okay, well, how do we solve that problem? Like what is truly an indigenous musical aesthetic meeting a classical music aesthetic? What does that sound like? And so for me, that kind of question started this desire to put those songs into conversation with the orchestra and truly like elevate them up to the heights of the orchestra so that now it's not just the classical music composers taking our melodies, but it's really like our languages and our melodies and our stories and all of that philosophy in there. So for me, it always feels like so exciting to elevate our languages and stories and songs into that space and also in remind, I guess, everybody that the concert hall is for everybody. And it's a place that we can come together and have dialogues across communities and hear other people's stories and learn about empathy. So it's a really exciting opportunity to come and be sharing our ways into that orchestral and concert space.
What is a symphony orchestra to you? Like when you talk about bringing this to the height of the orchestra, what do you mean?
Well, I guess for me, as somebody who's been practicing and thinking about music for the balance of my life, and somebody who kind of was in the classical world, but briefly, I came to understand that the level in which orchestral players dedicate their lives to music, it's really beautiful. And I think it's really a commendable act to dedicate your life to music in that way. And so for me, when I talk about the heights of the orchestra, it's really just talking about a community of people that have dedicated their lives to speaking together and being in dialogue with each other. And for me, that's like anytime you get to be in a room, whether or not they're musicians or not, but when you get to be in a room where people have a vision, and are moving together, I think that's a really powerful room. I look at it a couple different ways. What is the orchestra to me? It's also something that I didn't really see myself reflected in, and so as somebody who thinks about representation, and there were lots of other people in that space that were doing that. I think about like people like Chris Dirksen as well, or Andrew Balfour, or these like indigenous composers, because being able to see it like allows you to dream it a little bit, and sometimes that works in reverse. But I think for me, it worked this way. Because for me, it was a real question on how to marry these two musics that live in most people's minds in very different spaces, that of the classical and that of the traditional.
I was going to ask you actually about how is the process or what has been the process of bringing these two together for this concert?
In a way, it's a mountain to climb, but also in a way, it's like it's just my musical practice. So we're going to be offering music from my first two albums. As I perform these, typically I'm actually playing them in a much more like improvised, like I with my band, I have like jazz players, and we're using like vaguely orchestral instruments, but we're creating different kinds of sounds. So when we get to that orchestral space, there's a rigidity and a like we play the notes on the page, so this is kind of, for me, it's an interesting challenge too, to kind of like enter into a new musical space that's maybe a little less free, and yet you can find moments of playfulness within the rigidity and structure of an orchestra. At least I feel lucky in that way, that I guess because they're my compositions, I feel a level of freedom to compose kind of in the moment on the spot. It's going to be a lot of fun.
How has the orchestration worked for the TSO?
So there's Lucas Walden, who's going to be conducting. He was involved on the first record orchestrations. And because I was touring at the time, we had to kind of like do a, we had to like record my hands playing the piano to my album, for every song, kind of had to build the arrangements that way. And then he went away and kind of, because I don't really write my music and compose it on the page. It's kind of through repetition and through exploration. And so we kind of reverse engineered it, and he scored it out from kind of videos of my hands at work, which is kind of a cool method. And then I, had enough musical sense to like check through the scores and make sure everything was great. But and then through this process of building this last record, my bass player turned out to be an incredible orchestrator as well. And so I'm always like, we got to use the talents of the people around us, And so I asked him to come on board. His name is Bram Geelen. Hearing your, piano music, I was gonna say blown up for the orchestra, but you know what I mean by that? Like blown up like a photo, but not like a bomb. Like expanded, I guess, is a better word. And so for me, that's a really, really exciting dialogue that gets to happen when somebody with talents in orchestration can kind of bring that music that you've created to life. And that's like, wow. And then to be able to sing on top of that and create on top of that is a really, really fun exercise.
Embedded within your work is revitalization of Wolastoqiyik, the language of the Wolastoq, which is so beautiful to hear in your music. And I'm wondering, because different languages have different characteristics, both aesthetically, but also they have different emphases and strengths or different things that they express, bring out different energy in the speaker. How do you experience Wolastoqiyik?
Oh, that's a beautiful question. Sometimes when you go away from home is when you truly appreciate where you come from. And maybe it's like that with singing as well. So on this last record, I sang in English for the first time. Although I talk it every day, singing in English was actually not super common for me. And so it was kind of interesting to try to fit all those words in your mouth, because they feel different from holistic way words. And so I was able to kind of reflect on, okay, well, why is it different? There's a certain ease and a certain, yeah, there's certain sounds that are not captured in other languages, and those need to be sung differently. the ways that like our consonant vowel structure is really lends itself to beautiful melodies. So, and then there's like some ending consonants like qu, which are kind of percussive and also breathy. So for me, yeah, like music is an opportunity to explore language and to dive into it. A quick caveat, you know, because I think so my mother is a huge part of my work, and she started the very first Wolastoqiyik immersion school just outside of Fredericton, New Brunswick, 3 years ago. And yesterday they just put out a songbook, like a lyric sheet to like for people to learn our songs.
Oh,
And for
amazing.
me, it just kind of goes to the powerful connection between music and language and how we can teach ourselves, we can heal ourselves, we can come back to our ancestral languages through song. And for that's certainly been the case for me. You know, I've like gained a level of fluency just based on the fact that I use it now every day for my work, you know, and that's like it's been a gift to be able to explore that language even deeper. Because, you know, for me, like very often the second question people ask is like, are you fluent? You know, and for me, I think that's the wrong question, you know? And even our elders tell us we need to be talking, are you fluid in your language? You know, does it flow? Yeah, I think about that and the ways that song can prepare that flow and help us when words feel strange in our mouths. I don't know. Like, if folks have ever tried to learn, you know, another language, it's like it feels strange at first, you know, to try to move your mouth around certain ways of thinking. You know, I think we need to, through community, we need to help each other as Indigenous people come back to ourselves. And that's a huge reason about why I do what I do, is to reflect to my people that, you know, we are strong and it's within our languages that we can find a lot of healing and you know, because language is not just words, right? Like it's philosophies, it's worldview, it's how we are placed in relationship with each other and this world. So I think there's a lot there to explore. And not just from people in our own community. What I think is and why I share what I share on these kind of stages is like, I think the messages that are within our languages are for everyone and are kind of super timely as well for this particular moment. And I was just like touring in the States a little bit with my band, you know, and it's like a very particular time to be there. You know, it kind of became clear to me, and I would say this from the stage is like, now is a time like to come together. And so I think there's a lot of connectivities and also solidarities that can be built.
The date of your performance, June 21st, is significant. It is National Indigenous Peoples Day, also takes place during Pride Month. What does it mean to you personally to be at the TSO marking these two observances?
I mean, I'll be honest, I think I'm most excited about the solstice. The fact that it's landing on a super important day for many, many reasons, I should say. It's going to be a really nice occasion, I think, and I really hope people can come and celebrate with us. As much as this moment feels precarious or scary or like we don't know what's next, I feel like the power of hearing each other's stories and coming together to hear from people that aren't like us is the most human of acts, and we've been doing it, you know, throughout history, on and on and on. And so I think we need to keep reaffirming those kind of, you know, possibilities that can happen at the concert hall of hearing each other. That for me is like, yeah, it could actually move the needle. And so I guess I have to believe that because that's why I do what I do. But I really get this sense, you know, that like, when we come together and share experience with each other, you know, that's not a super mediated experience through a screen or through, it can have effects. And, you know, I really think, yeah, it's just about celebration and coming together. And for me, you know, I'm going to have like my parents there coming from New Brunswick. And like I said, that I'll have a choir of friends with me with the orchestra. It's just going to be a lot. And I'm looking at, you know, it's a Jeremy Dutcher occasion. So there's always, we're going to be turning a look. There's going to be some couture on the stage. I'm just kidding.
Oh, no, you're
But
not.
oh no, I'm not. Who can say? You know, we're cooking up something nice for that. But in terms of the day itself and like what it means, you know, it is solstice is a really powerful time of transition and transformation. We're kind of like putting those stories away from the winter and coming into the sun, into the light. And I feel like it was a long winter, and I think we're all ready for that sunshine. So for me, I'm going to be ringing in the summer on June 21st at Roy Thomson Hall with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. I'm so excited I get to say that out loud, and as it's true. Like, I think I talked a little earlier about like representation and what taking up that kind of space can entail and what it can mean. There were people in my life that I saw on stage that wove identity together with really beautiful, pure music to the highest degree from whatever cultural tradition. But putting it in that kind of like space where we're all connected to each other and we're all there for a good reason, it can only be a celebration. I try to just remember that like we're all there in love. And I don't think anyone goes to see art for other reasons. At least I hope not. You better not be there for anything else. It's gonna be a love fest. It is meaningful to do it in this kind of apex of celebratory times. And I think now more than ever is when we need to like show up as ourselves and celebrate who we are so that people can see themselves reflected in us and celebrate themselves.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by on the internet to talk with us about what is sure to be a thrilling and gorgeous evening of sharing. That was tenor, composer, pianist, and activist Jeremy Dutcher. He headlines the June 21st performance at the TSO in what is going to be an unforgettable evening. And let's get a sample now. This is from his second album, once again, Madelwinowug, featuring that choir that is going to be joining him that night. This is called Sagum.